Hello everyone and welcome to our webinar. I am so happy and thrilled to be back here with you for another deep dive into nonverbal communication, which is our theme this month in our Community Exploring Academy. So do you remember last week we spoke about, you know, your eyebrows, your smile, your eye contact, and how all of these things speak volumes, even though you're not actually speaking words, right? You're communicating something. And so today we're actually going to look at those subtle, lightning fast expressions that flash across our faces and offer incredible insights into what we're thinking, into how we're communicating, into so many things that get revealed without the words. So understanding micro expressions is actually a game changer, whether you're in a negotiation or a job interview or making new friends, which I know is a goal for a lot of people. Get ready for this webinar to be, you know, giving you insights on these communication upgrades. Okay. So if you are ready to become a master decoder of hidden emotions, because that's what micro expressions are, they're hidden emotions, then you're in the right place for this webinar. We're going to dive into the fascinating world of micro expressions, which again are these brief, involuntary, meaning we don't necessarily do them willingly, they just happen. And they're involuntary flashes of emotion that actually reveal what people truly and how they truly feel, even when their words try to mask it. So even when your voluntary words try to mask those involuntary feelings. And so, like I said, we did talk about the basics of facial expressions last week in our webinar on nonverbal communication as well. And now we're going to level up and we're going to talk about, you know, helping you unmask true feelings, true emotions, how to build stronger connections with people, build rapport, and how to spot potential deception, because that also helps us, you know, micro expressions are really great to help us with that as well. All right. So for those of you who are new here, I'm just going to do a little bit of an intro. I am Mary Daphne, CEO and co-founder of Explearning and Advanced English, and I am head of community here in Explearning Academy. And my passion is helping you unlock the power of your communication. So whether you're looking to improve your social fluency, to build confidence, or to master cross-cultural interactions or executive communication, I am here to guide you. My own personal journey and professional background includes nearly two decades in international corporate communications, television, live broadcasting, teaching. And along the way, I earned degrees in French and communication, as well as master's degrees from both Bocconi University and Columbia University. And I've taught communication skills, social skills, English, French, and more for the past 16 years, always focusing on how technology, research, and proven methods can deliver the best results for learners like you. And so I'm also honored to have received a Fulbright grant that took me abroad in a professional capacity for that first time, and also to have trained teachers all around the world and also in New York City. All right, so now with that, I want to dive into the fascinating world of micro expressions and then how they can transform your own communication, both in the office and in life. Okay, so what are micro expressions? Well, we did mention that they are these brief, involuntary flashes of emotion, right? These quick, lightning fast emotions that reveal true feelings. And this is the kicker. They often last less than a second. There are seven universal expressions being anger, sadness, happiness, disgust, contempt, surprise, fear. And why are they so important? And why do they get, you know, they get overlooked, but they're very important. They offer clues, right? When words are masked, when our words are trying to say something else and we're trying to hide our true emotions, they often offer clues and they aid in detecting deception. So you can tell if somebody's being deceitful or not telling you the truth. And they also help in building empathy, which is extremely important for validation, for building rapport, for strengthening those connections at work and in life. And unlike regular expressions, right, the facial expressions that might be more voluntary, where you know you're doing them, you're thinking about them methodically, micro expressions cannot be easily controlled. And so they offer honest emotional insights. Isn't that something? So that's why we call them involuntary flashes. And so you might think of important everyday situations that you might find yourself in, right? Meetings with potential clients, meetings with your boss, coworkers, you know, chats with coworkers, negotiations, different social settings, all of these things where micro expressions are actually very important and an integral part of the way that we communicate. And we all have micro expressions. We all do these. You just might not be aware of it. So this is going to definitely raise awareness. So in terms of spotting micro expressions, you can think about, you know, focusing on the windows to the soul, which are our eyes, which I mentioned last week as that metaphor. And, you know, you can think of like the wrinkling part of your eyes, the crow's feet. You can think of the eyebrows. Are they raised? Are they lowered? What about the mouth? Is there a frown? Are there pursed lips? Is there a look of surprise? Is the mouth open? Is it closed? Right? What's going on there? And then in terms of baseline behavior, you know, you can understand how somebody is normally adept at acting, like in terms of how they normally behave. And that's going to be important for establishing the baseline so that you can use that to help detect any deviations from that, where there might be some incongruence and misalignment, right? And so we talked about incongruence as well, because that's an important part of communication where we actually are looking for congruence and for that alignment. So you might look for some mismatches between the words that people utter and the expressions they actually display. So something like, I'm fine, but they have a sad micro expression. Or I'm doing really well, but then they have, you know, like a fearful expression. So these are really important because, again, they show how a person actually feels, and that can help you calibrate the rest of your communication with them, right? In that specific communication event or for that speech act. And that way you are clearer on what's going on with them. Okay. And then in terms of building rapport, right, this is also really important. The key concept here is that micro expressions help reveal somebody's emotional state, and they allow you to recalibrate your response, maybe understand from with a more bird's eye approach, really what's going on with this person or these people that you're interacting with, and then respond with more empathy, right? If that's something where you notice the micro expressions are showing some more negative emotions. And that way you can adjust your response, right? This helps you build connection, build rapport. Gently reflecting observed emotions shows attentiveness. So I sense some frustration. Would you like to elaborate? Something as simple as that, in like a professional context, you could say, right? Or with your friends, you know, I notice some tension around that subject. Do you want to talk about it, or we can just, you know, table this for another time, but I'm here to talk if you want to. And that calibration portion is very important because, again, in live communication, right, in in synchronous communication, you are getting lots of feedback. So micro expressions, you can think of that feedback that you're getting from people and that you're also giving off, right? So we've got to always make adjustments. We've got to recalibrate and calibrate so that we really can communicate in the best way possible so that our message resonates, so that, you know, people are receptive to what we have to say. And based on the communication outcome that we're looking to get, you know, whether it be persuading somebody, influencing somebody, empathizing with somebody, whatever it might be. So you're going to adjust based on this feedback that you've received from what the nonverbals are doing and the micro expressions are doing and saying. You're going to adjust your own communication style based on their nonverbal cues. And that way you do a better job of avoiding any type of misalignment. Okay, super important, because to help us build rapport, we have to align. Our message has to align. Our nonverbal messages have to align with our verbal messages, and those messages have to align with the other person's message. So again, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but this is not about manipulation. Not at all. It's quite the opposite, actually. It's about fostering trust, promoting understanding, building awareness, not just self-awareness, because as you're paying attention to other people's nonverbals and microexpressions, you're also becoming more aware of your own, right? At least the fact that you do this and that you have this as well. So not manipulation. It's really about building those bridges, building stronger rapport with people, and aligning with others. Okay, so in terms of some cautionary notes, right, we have to mention this. You know, there's no single right answer, right? And you have to think of micro expressions as clues. They're not conclusive evidence. Like, oh, this person had a micro expression of anger, so they must be irate. They must be livid. They must be so upset that, you know, they're going to explode. No, it's one out of many cues, right? Clues. So the context, right, and the whole picture are really what matters, okay? Also, there's cultural variation, always, particularly in our globalized society. You know, we're interacting with people from all over the world, probably every day, especially if you live in a city, right? You're a cosmopolitan city, you are going to be interacting with people from all over the world. So that's a beautiful thing. And it's important to be able to understand that there is that cultural variation. Okay. So let's see where, okay. So you've got to be aware, right, that some expressions might have different meanings in other cultures, in other cross-cultural settings, or just specific cultures that you might have in mind, or that you're, you know, exposed to or working in. Okay. So if that's the case, then, you know, if you've got to familiarize yourself with those variations, that's a huge part of success cross-culturally. And then in terms of ethical use, right, we always want to think about that. You know, don't use this knowledge about micro expressions to exploit or accuse somebody. Instead, help it inform your communication that's going to be more empathetic and understanding and, you know, validating of somebody, right? So again, with great power comes great responsibility. So we're actually going to talk about responsibility next. So think of this: knowledge is power, and power promotes, gives you responsibility. You have power from that, right? And responsibility from that. So it's exciting to unlock what types of intel micro expressions give us, right? This is important information, but you have to think about it from the lens of, okay, I'm going to use this to behave more empathetically, to promote active listening, to really hear the person out and understand what they have to say, as opposed to, you know, thinking about this as a mind reading power. It's not the case. So that's very important. The other thing is to avoid snap judgments, right? try not to judge somebody right off the bat, or if you see a certain micro expression, because that's not the way we want to be, you know, communicating with people, just judging people all day, every day, just like you wouldn't want to be judged all the time or at all, right? That's something that we've got to put in perspective and consider. So again, one micro expression is just part of the picture. It's just one sliver of the equation, right? It's not the whole story. So it might be a clue to deepen the conversation, right? To go down a certain path, to ask some follow-up questions or clarifying questions or anything to elaborate on, but it's by no means a definitive verdict on somebody's character, right? So that's really important too. And you're not there to make judgment calls about people. Okay. Again, put it in the perspective of, do you want to be judged, right? People are going to also be evaluating your own micro expression. So we have to put them to good use, put them to good use. Context is key, right? So did you see a fleeting look of disgust in a meeting? Well, it could be a true dislike for the idea. Maybe they really don't like that idea that was suggested, or maybe they just have an upset stomach, right? Maybe something at the cafeteria didn't sit well with them that day. So again, always consider the bigger picture. Yes, you know, observe, take in the information, recalibrate and adjust your communication style and interaction accordingly, but don't let that deter you from understanding everything as a whole, right? The whole picture, very important. Of course, there's cultural awareness as well. So what you might think of as a universal sign, right, of anger in your own L1 culture might actually mean something very different in someone else's culture, right? We've all had experiences where, you know, we thought one thing, but it was actually another thing cross-culturally, right? You've been there. I've certainly been there. So again, it comes down to thinking about, okay, well, let me take in all the whole perspective here. Let me understand if this culture might have some nuances that are different from my own, which of course, yes, is the case. Do your research, right? Thinking about, okay, how do I interpret this appropriately and correctly across cultural lines? Because that's going to really serve you well. And then, of course, aim for empathy. Always, always important. We have an empathetic communication challenge, I believe. Where is that? Let me just, yeah, well, it's part of the active listening. So we had a theme a couple of months ago about empathetic communication. So we still have that challenge up. And I really recommend you do that if you are interested in, you know, helping understand how to bring in that empathy when you communicate and when you listen, because active listening is part of effective speaking, right? We can't do one without the other. Effective communication is, you know, is comprised of both speaking and listening. So again, the micro expression portion here can also help us become more empathetic, to understand people better so that you can respond with more compassion, with more understanding, build stronger connections, which is very important, not just in the casual space, right, of just life in general, but also at work, So especially if you're a leader, if you're building teams, if you manage people, whew, this is a superpower, right? Communication is a superpower, and being able to understand people. So that's always important. Okay, so let's look at some scenarios here. Let's imagine you are the interviewer, right? And so you're interviewing a candidate for a role, and the candidate smiles as they describe a difficult project. Okay, that sounds okay. But you notice a quick flash of anger quickly crossing their face. So this could indicate A, that they're frustrated recalling the situation, right? Remember, interviews are high stakes. They're stress inducing. Even if you're super prepared and confident otherwise, right? They can, a lot is at stake. So that could be a situation. B, maybe they're lying about the success of the project. Hopefully not. I mean, it's never good to lie in any situation. C, they are momentarily annoyed by something unrelated to the interview. That could be maybe. I mean, what do you think? So what are your thoughts here? Answer in the chat for those joining live. Is it A, B, C? What is it? What do you think? What could be the cause of this micro expression? What's the most probable situation? That they're frustrated of recalling the situation, that they're lying about the how successful their project was, that they're annoyed because, you know, something outside the interview happened and they can't shake their brain of it. What makes sense? Okay, some answers are coming in. Thank you. All right. Okay, so let's have a look. So it's actually A, that they are frustrated recalling the situation. That's the most probable, situation. Because if you think about it this way, you know, oh, let's see. Am I on the wrong slide? Here, one sec. A brief flash of anger, right, is most likely a genuine reaction to remembering a challenging experience. Because again, you're put on the spot. You're forced to recall your star with all your anecdotes and your examples and your data backing it up. So that might be challenging to do, right, when put on the spot. It's less likely that they'd fake a negative emotion, right, during an interview. And an unrelated annoyance wouldn't really be fleeting. It wouldn't just happen quickly. It might be something that they're, you know, they might come into the interview kind of annoyed. So this is the most probable reason and response in this case. An open-ended probing would be the best approach so that you give the candidate a chance to explain their feelings about the project without assuming ill intent. Okay, so that's that. Let's go to the second one. All right. Okay, let me just see something here. Okay, well, that's fine. So, these got switched up. Okay, this is now a networking event, right? And that's for scenario two. It's not the explanation. It's just scenario two. And you're chatting with somebody, right, who seems kind of interested in what you have to say. They might be smiling and nodding along, but you keep noticing that their eyes are constantly darting away, right? They're averting their gaze. So they're not really making eye contact with you. And also their shoulders are slightly hunched. So not the best kind of body language by any means. So what does this mean? Does it mean that they're A, nervous or uncomfortable? Does it mean that they're bored and looking for a way to exit the conversation? Does it mean that they're just naturally shy? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Put your response in the chat. I'll go back to the choices. Put your response in the chat. Are they A, nervous or uncomfortable? Are they B, bored, looking for a way to exit the conversation? Or are they C, just naturally shy or maybe a little socially awkward? What do you think? A, B, C. Interacting with the material is going to really help you with your, you know, enforcing the learning and understanding the concept. So I really encourage you to type in the chat, put your answers in. What do you think? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so let's have a look. It is A, they're nervous or uncomfortable. A lot of people, right, in these kinds of social settings, especially if you don't know people, right, networking events can be agonizing. They can be a little bit daunting, right? You have this goal of meeting people, of widening your network, of making some connections, but you're put on the spot and you're kind of performing a little bit and you want to put your best foot forward, but you also want to come across as confident and natural and relaxed and cool, right? So there can be some feelings of nervousness or discomfort, but you can think of the explanation this way, right? Darting eyes, right? So the eyes that are going left and right, up and down, averting the gaze, the eye contact, these are classic signs of social anxiety paired with the hunched shoulders, right? Kind of like that, right? Kind of like that, where you're nervous. Boredom, if it's boredom, that might make them feel a little bit restless, right? It could be like just they're a little bit restless, but they are less likely to look away from you entirely, okay, and display kind of tense posture. Because there's this tense posture here, we can attribute that more to them, they're being nervous or uncomfortable. So what would you do here? Well, the focus is to make them feel comfortable. Once you notice that misalignment, right, between, oh, they actually seem interested, but their body language and micro expressions are telling me something else, you can start to now switch gears and say, okay, I am in your head. I'm going to make this person feel more comfortable. So you might shift the conversation and mirroring their smaller posture so that you can send some non-threatening signals, right? You're not a threat. So slightly mirror that close off posture. So a little bit, right? You don't want to do too much, but you want to show that, you know, you're not a threat to them. You're not going to scare them into oblivion. So these are really important. And then of course you can ask some open-ended question, have them talk about their interests, things like that, because that always, you know, puts people at ease. And if they get to talk about a subject they love or that they're passionate about, or a work project that they're really keen about sharing, then you'll be there for, you know, several minutes talking about this. And suddenly, poof, that anxiety, that discomfort that they're feeling and nervousness start to disappear. It starts to dissipate, which again, that's part of the goal of being a really good communicator, picking up on these signals, recalibrating your communication, and then being able to connect with somebody, even those that might not be able to connect as well. Let's go on to our third scenario. So imagine this is like a performance review, right? So you are the person delivering constructive feedback, constructive criticism, right? The performance review, to an employee of yours. So they might say that they understand, but they have a brief grimace, right? Like a frown and crossed arms that signals something else. So what is the best way to navigate this? Do you A, ignore their body language completely and then just move on with the review? So just like bulldoze through. Do you call them out on their defensiveness? You say, Fred, you're being really defensive here about this feedback. Is something wrong? Right? That would be defensiveness. Or do you acknowledge their reaction and create a safe space for discussion? Something like, Fred, I'm sensing some hesitation. Would you like to talk about this further? So what do you think? A, B, or C? What would make most sense? What would get you the best communication outcome? What would put them at ease? What would create a good environment to share this performance review in a way that is receptive to them? What are your thoughts? I'm waiting for your answers in the chat. Okay. So the answer is C, because you want to acknowledge their reaction and create a safe space for discussion, right? Something like we said, I'm sensing some hesitation. Would you like to talk about this further? And why is that a good idea? Well, both the words that they're uttering and the body language are creating mixed feelings towards the feedback. And if you ignore this, that can actually risk resentment. And then, but if you call them out, that will only worsen the defensiveness. If you say they're being defensive, they're going to act even more defensive. So there's a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy involved as well. So you want to really tread lightly, okay? And always, especially if you're in a managerial role and you're in a position of power, you always want to think about putting yourself in their shoes, right? They might be in a vulnerable state. They're getting feedback from you. Their job might be at stake, whatever it might be. So you want to understand that they might be a little bit vulnerable, and how can you create a safe space to create a conversation around a tense point? Okay, so that's always something that you want to consider as a leader, as a manager, as somebody who prides themselves on being a people person, right? Somebody who wants to get ahead in their career. So if you acknowledge the hesitation, that allows them to elaborate on their emotions, right? What are they experiencing? And then potentially even uncover some valuable information that they share or that you arrive at together to make the review constructive, because it's about a collaborative conversation. It's not about, you know, the manager telling the employee, oh, this is what you did wrong, this is what you could be doing better, this is that, and all of this, right? It's more collaborative, it's more open and constructive so that you can get the goals and the outcomes that you desire. Okay, so always honor their feelings, find a way to create a safe space that fosters open dialogue, and use microexpressions as a cue, always, as a clue. Clue. Okay, good. So with some key takeaways that we have here, I always want you to think about, well, what are these microexpressions? Again, they're those flash, very fast couple seconds, brief flashes of emotion that flash across our faces, all of us, even if you try to hide it, you can't, that reveal true emotions, true feelings. And I want you to use them as a launch point, right? A launching point, a starting point for further explanation, to have more open dialogue, to foster open-ended questions and collaborative discussion. Always consider the context, the culture, and use your knowledge responsibly and ethically, right? I want to remind you of that because very important. So always remember the context and the setting, and your relationship with the person will influence how well you're going to be able to interpret and respond to their microexpressions. Because again, you might be misinterpreting something. You might be reading too far into something or not deep enough into something. So again, there's always that aspect there, right? The interpretation is only going to be as good as you're attuned to it. But with practice, you can get better. Also, thinking about really building rapport, right? The goal is to always connect, to understand people on a deeper level, to create that rapport, to build stronger connections and bonds. Communication is all about connection. That's what it is. So don't think about this as in terms of like interrogating something. Instead, put your empathy hat on, reflect back their nonverbal cues with gentle little inquiries, because that can help build trust and create a safe space where they can share and reveal things. And you can do the same. And that will get you much better information than just, you know, mere accusations. So always, always a good idea. In terms of more resources, well, always practice makes perfect. You can practice in our next group coaching session this Wednesday. We're going to practice these. We have different simulations and role plays, and we're going to have some strategies, and you get live feedback as well as feedback afterwards as well. So it's ongoing feedback and you get to connect with people. So for those of you who want to practice your communication, you want to meet people, you want to network, you want to have practice exposing yourself to different ways of speaking, to different accents, this is your place. This is your place. This is the whole package of communication strategies and theory and fun as well. We do have a lot of fun here. So I also have a cheat sheet that you'll be able to download in our community. So it's in the live webinar space, so you can find it there when the replay is up. So I encourage you to check that out, to continue practicing. Pay attention to what, you know, you're doing with your micro expressions. Pay attention to what other people are doing. I want you to start getting into the habit of doing that, because it's going to serve you well for sure. And then coming next week, we are going to, in keeping up with our theme on nonverbal communication and how we can improve our communication by having better nonverbal communication skills, we're going to look at commanding the room, right? What does that mean for your building presence, power, influence? You know, how do you develop a confident and charismatic nonverbal presence? How can power poses and their impact, impact your self-perception, your influence, your confidence? How to use space and movement more effectively, and also some nonverbal techniques for impactful presentations and negotiations. So you also negotiate, you know, not just in a professional setting. You can be negotiating with your family, with your friends. You know, it's something as simple as, oh, should we order Chinese food tonight or Indian food tonight? And then have a discussion about it. Have it's a negotiation, right? Or should we watch this show or that show? Or should we choose this book or that book for our book club? So again, these are things where you need to be able to, you know how to persuade people, to influence people, to negotiate well, not just at work, but in life. And part of that is also through those nonverbal communication tools that we talked about. So for those of you who are not yet in our amazing community or part of our group coaching program, you can find out about our community platform, the professional development platform that Exploring Academy is. And also, if you're interested in really leveling up and getting that feedback and doing live calls with me and some of our other members, then you can join our group coaching plan. So we have two different plans like that. For that. And you can read member testimonials. You see what people are saying about the community and how much it's benefited them and their careers. You can learn about our plans, find out about what sets us apart, what makes us different, and so much more. So just check out the link here, academy.exploring.co, and you can find out more there. So I will see you in the community. Thanks again for joining me. It's been great having you here. Well done on, you know, taking the time and working on yourself and investing in yourself, because your future self will thank you. And I will see you right here in the community and on Spotify and in the channels as well. All right. Bye, everybody.